الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور وقال الله عز وجل وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر واعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We praise, we glorify, we submit and surrender only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and only our Lord, our Creator, and we send salutations and peace and blessings upon His noble, beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and peace and blessings upon his noble family, the purified ones, and peace and blessings upon the illustrious companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah azza wa jal shower upon you all on this blessed and noble day of Jumu'ah, and may our attendance become a means for our success, purification, guidance and salvation, and may we be all raised together as we are here today on the day of Qiyamah in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la, Allahumma Ameen. Today insha'Allahul Aziz we will talk about a very important topic, a topic which affects every single one of us, whether we are practicing or not practicing, whether we believe and whether we do not believe. This is part and parcel of our challenge here in this particular lifetime. And I want to begin with a story from the Israeliyat. The Israeliyat are the stories that come from the life of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And whilst we do not take any rulings from them in terms of ahkam, of halal and haram, nevertheless, those stories that do not go against the principles of Islam or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we can take ibrah from them, which is take lessons and pay heed to those beautiful lessons contained within them. And today, inshallah, I'll begin the khutbah by reminding you of a story which demonstrates the reality of the dunya that we live in. And this is the story that comes from Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. It's regarding two travelers, three loaves of bread, three distinct events that took place, three horsemen and four bodies at the end. So a man once came to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and asked him that he wants to accompany him. He wants to take his suhbah, he wants to be with the Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam accepted. He said, okay, fine, you can come. And they began their journey and they traveled. At the beginning of their journey, they had three loaves of bread. So the journey begins with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and a traveler. And they had three loaves of bread at the beginning. And once they traveled a little distance, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam stopped. And when he stopped, he saw that he only had two loaves of bread remaining. But how many were there originally? Three. But Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam saw that there were only two loaves of bread remaining. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam turned around and said to his companion, the traveler with him, who ate the third loaf of bread? And the man replied, "It wasn't me. There was always two, and there was only two. I don't know where the third one was, whether it was there or not, but there was only two loaves of bread." So then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam continued on his journey with that individual. And they came by a man who was blind. And as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam the ability to cure leprosy and the ability to cure the blind. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, by the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, placed his hand over his eyes, and the blind man was then able to see again by the idhn, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He regained his vision. So the traveler, the companion, he saw this and he was amazed. He said, "Subhanallah." So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam at that point said, "By the one who returned this man his vision, tell me who ate the third loaf of bread." And the man again said, no, I swear, it wasn't me. It was only two loaves of bread." So they continued their journey, and then they approached a river which was not easy to cross. And they had no boat, they had no bridge, they had nothing whatsoever. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, being the prophet and messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla, says to the man, "Hold my hand and say Bismillah." Hold my hand and say Bismillah and walk with me. And he held his hand and they walked on top of the water and they crossed the river. This was again a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he reached the other side, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam again addressed the individual and said, "By the one who enabled us to walk over this river, walk over this river, tell me who ate the third loaf of bread." And again he said, "I swear, there was only two loaves of bread." Then finally Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the third event. Isa alayhi salam, he comes, once they've crossed the river, and he takes three piles of dirt. How many? Three piles of dirt. He makes them into a quite large mound, three piles of dirt. And then he places his hand over them, and those three piles of dirt turn into gold. Turn into what? Turn into gold. And the man, again, his eyes lit up, and he was amazed, he was happy, and he was baffled. And he said, "Who is this gold for?" And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, "One pile of gold is for me, and the other pile of gold is for you, and the third pile of gold is for the one who ate the third loaf of bread." And immediately the man said, it was me, I ate the loaf of bread. And then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam realized that this individual, this sahib, this companion who was traveling with him was not worthy of his suhbah, because he didn't have his eye on his heart. Didn't want to spend time with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam to learn the reality of the dunya and the purpose of why he is there. He wanted something else. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said to that individual, "Take all three piles of gold. Take them all." And then he left him. Because what did he want? He wanted the gold. So he left him. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam left, and then shortly afterwards, three horsemen came. Men on horses. And they saw this one person with three piles of gold. And the first thing that they did, they dismounted and they stabbed him and they killed him and they threw him away. And they said, "Oh, we've got three piles of gold now." And then that person who did so much, he's lost everything within a heartbeat. So these three horsemen now, they have these three piles of gold. Then the shaitan enters into the story. Then shaitan comes to two of the horsemen and says, "Send one of your friends away to go and get some food. And then when he comes back, stab him and kill him, and then you will have even more wealth." So the two horsemen, even though they're friends, they send one of their friends and they say, "Go and get some food for us, let's celebrate." And then the person is going, that third person is going. And then the shaitan also goes to him. And he says to him that if you kill them too, you can have all of the gold. So why don't you poison the food? So the one who's been sent, he's thinking, "I'm going to get some food and I'm going to poison the food." And the two behind thinking, "When he comes, we will kill him and we will share the booty and the gold amongst us." So when the third person comes back with the food, the two friends, they kill him, they stab him, they throw him away. And they said, "Ha, we've got all the pile of gold now." And then they think, "Okay, let's celebrate." How do they celebrate? They take the food that friend had purchased, that the friend had poisoned, and then they eat the food, and them two also end up dying. So neither does the first person take the wealth, neither do the three horsemen take the wealth. And shortly after, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, a day or so after, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam returns, and he sees four bodies there, just lying there amongst all of this pile of gold which has been untouched. And then this is the statement that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam mentions, which you can see on the screen above. هَكَذَا تَفْعَلُ الدُّنْيَا بِأَهْلِهَا هَكَذَا تَفْعَلُ الدُّنْيَا بِأَهْلِهَا فَعْمُرُوهَا وَلَا تَعْمُرُوهَا. That this is what the world does to its people. What greed does to people. What this wealth does to people. What lying does to people. This is what the world does to its people. فَعْبُرُوهَا وَلَا تَعْمُرُوهَا. So cross over the dunya and do not build in the dunya. Do not make your dunya everything. But no, we are here to cross through the dunya and pass through the dunya. So this is the story I wanted to share at the beginning, and hopefully inshallah we can all reflect upon this within our own capacity, but it connects back to our khutbah for today. Discussing the topic of the dunya is extremely important, not just for those who are in their old age, because they will reflect on their life and they'll say, life has just gone by just like that. They can still feel and remember their youth, but here they are in their 50s and 60s and 70s. And it's equally important for our youth to understand the reality of the dunya, because it will pass us by so fast that we won't realize how much we have wasted our lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created us, but He has also given us clear guidance and shown us the way on how to navigate through the dunya. And this word is very important, it's very critical. To navigate through the dunya, not to live in the dunya, but to navigate and pass through the dunya, very much like the statement of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, fa'buruha, cross the dunya and don't live and build in the dunya. Without getting lost in the dunya, we need to make sure that we can navigate from the beginning all the way to the end. Because ask yourself this very question, that how many relationships have been severed because of the dunya? When children get their inheritance, they fight and they dispute, and then their relationships are severed. Families fight and dispute, and relationships are severed. What happens when countries invade one another because of the wealth of the dunya, because of resources, of minerals, of oil, of gas, of many, many other things? Countries are destroyed, utterly invaded, because of what? One thing. Because of the dunya. Scholars are jailed. Why? Because they speak up the truth. They speak for the truth against tyranny, against injustice, but they are jailed. Deaths and famine take place throughout the world because of medicine, because of all of these things, because people want to control the dunya. They want to control the narrative. They want to have all of the treasures of the dunya. So the dunya is actually a cause for our destruction. This is why at the beginning I mentioned, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. What is the life of this dunya that you live in except a life of delusion? اِعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. Your life is just a play. It's just a game. You're passing here and there. You hoard and you compete with each other with wealth and fame and children, all of these things. It's nothing. It's a mere distraction and delusion for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the owner of this dunya, who is the creator of this dunya, the sani' of this dunya, look at how He describes the dunya to us. Look at how He condemns the dunya. Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna wa'adallahi haqq. O mankind, every single one of us, whether you believe or not, indeed the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, is haqq. فَلَا تَغُرُّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Therefore, do not let the worldly life seduce you. For you to pursue the dunya and put your life, your wealth, your health, everything in the pursuance of the dunya, don't let it distract you and seduce you. وَلَا يَغُرُّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ. And neither be deceived about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the deceiver. The greatest deceiver is the shaitan. After that, the deceiver is the dunya. They are there to deceive you, to distract you, to take you away from the wa'adallahi haqqa, from the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our promise is not here for the dunya, our promise is there for the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he gives us a beautiful analogy of how we can understand the dunya. And just reflect upon this particular analogy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. He mentions the life of this world. What does dunya mean? The lowest of the low. This is what dunya means. Jannah is the highest of the high. So dunya, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that the life of this low world, this dunya, in comparison to the akhirah, in comparison to the hereafter, is like a person who dips his finger in the ocean and then raises it. This is what the Prophet ﷺ is describing to every single one of us. This, imagine this cup of water is the oceans of the entire dunya. And you dip your finger in there. How much do I have on my finger? One droplet. That is it. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. You've just dipped your finger in there. You won't receive more than a droplet. This is the dunya. This is the life of the dunya in comparison to the oceans of the hereafter. This is the example of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So how much water, how many droplets remain on your finger? This is the comparison the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gives us, that this is the dunya in comparison to the hereafter, the akhirah, which is the oceans and oceans that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us. So ask yourself and consider all of these things, all of your savings that you work towards, that you hoard, all of your properties that you sacrifice your day and your night, all of the wealth that you accumulate, all of your gold and your silver and your clothing, all of the relationships, your ambitions, your towers, your cities, the empires, the land, the gold, everything that you can imagine, that you can fathom, is in that one drop. That one drop. The rest, which is the akhirah, is the ocean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us. And I just did some basic maths. If you calculate all of the droplets, just in that very glass there, which is 200 mil, there's 4,000 droplets. Imagine living for 4,000 years in comparison to the 70, 80 years that we have. Imagine having the wealth of 4,000 years in comparison to the 70 years of wealth that we have. Now imagine the oceans of just this dunya, which is the equivalent of 2,670,000,000,000 drops. That is what is waiting for you in the hereafter. And far more than that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared. So my question to all of us is, what are we favoring? Are you favoring that one single drop of the dunya and you give everything to the dunya? Or are you favoring the hereafter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared? بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You give preference. You are eager to prioritize your hayat al-dunya, your life in the dunya. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But akhirah is khayr than all of the dunya, and it is everlasting in comparison to the dunya. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, that you are preferring a drop in comparison to the ocean that I have prepared for you. Another analogy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, analogy of food. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that the food that the son of Adam makes in the dunya, prepares in the dunya, no matter how delicious it may be, no matter how exquisite and rare or expensive it may be, no matter what spices that you put on, how it looks and how it tastes, all of that only ends up in one place. It ends up in your stomach, and after that it ends up in the toilet. That is all that you have. This is the example of the dunya the Prophet ﷺ is giving, that you spend your entire life to beautify yourself, to enjoy yourself, to do all of these things, but it doesn't avail you, doesn't truly benefit you, because it exits you, and it is a waste product at the end of the day in comparison to the investment of the hereafter. The dunya will not benefit you at your death, but the akhirah will benefit you. Your work and your effort and your worship will benefit you, bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question is that, what do we do? We're kind of in a conundrum, because we are, after all, inhabitants of this very dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condemned this dunya as well. But this dunya is also a means to our salvation. It is also a means to our success. This dunya, just by living in the dunya, doesn't mean that you can't have a nice house, that you can't have a good job, that you can't have a nice car or be rich or have clothing. No, you can have all of those things, because the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has also praised the dunya as well. That arba'a min as-sa'ada, there are four things from great happiness in the dunya. A righteous spouse, make your dunya peaceful for you. A spacious home can make your dunya better for you. A good neighbor can make your dunya better for you. And a nice comfortable ride can make your dunya better for you as well. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would do dua, Ya Allah, make my dunya good and fix my livelihood within it. Oh Allah, forgive my sins and expand my home and place barakah in what you have given me. So the dunya is there. It is there to be used, but it is not there to be abused. And it is not there for you to lose yourself in. And ask yourself, the 40, 50, 60 years of the lives that we spend here, or the 70, 80 years, 80 or 90% of it is in towards the dunya. And remember, we did the calculation in the month of Ramadan, from 73 years of your life, only 5 years are spent in ibadah. The remaining, you are sleeping, you are eating, you are drinking, you are working, and you're doing all of the other things of the dunya, but you're giving 5 years to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are preparing 5 years for an eternity. This is what you are doing. You are preparing the dunya over the hereafter. So how do you know if you are from the people of the dunya or if you are from the people of the hereafter? And for that is a very simple thing. Each and every single one of us needs to check in our life and ask ourselves that whatever I have done up until now in my life, in this dunya, has it brought me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to my deen, to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, or has it caused me to drift away? Your wealth and the wealth that you pursue day and night, where you work double shift and overtime and so much more, where is your salah in the accumulation of all of your wealth? Where is your sadaqat and sadaqat and zakat in the pursuance of your wealth? Where is that? And the job that you work so hard towards to achieve fame and success and power and control and all of these things, has that job taken you closer to the masjid, closer to the masakeen, closer to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or has it distanced you further and further away where you barely have time to even make it for Jumu'ah, or perhaps make it once a year for Ramadan or Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr? The power of the dunya, even your spouse and your children, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُمْ وَزِّينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاسُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Yeah, and other verses of the Quran, that even your spouse and your children and your wealth, they are all a fitna, a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is because of our children and our spouse and of all of these things, we end up distancing ourselves and end up doing haram for the pleasures of the dunya. So ask yourselves, everything that you have achieved up until this time, where has it placed you? Are you still in that drop, or are you swimming in the ocean trying to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has it brought you closer to your salah? Has it made you memorize more of your Quran, more of your dua? Has it increased you in your da'wah, in helping the masakeen? Or has it distanced you from all of those things? Has it ruined your relationship with the ibadullah? Has it ruined your relationship with hukukul ibad? Has it ruined your focus in your salah? Has it wasted your time because you are just so busy in social media, in gossiping, in backbiting, in arguing, and putting posts on, making videos and all of these things, that you've just become this horrible, resentful, negative person, this stingy, miserable person because of the dunya? Or are you from the ibadur rahman who smile, who take a portion of the dunya? وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, take your portion that has been appointed for you in the dunya, but use it to prepare for the hereafter. We take whatever we have and we invest everything that we have for the dunya, and we don't prepare it for the hereafter. We don't ask ourselves whether our job is halal or haram. Doesn't matter. Banking is fine. Doesn't matter. Interest is fine. It doesn't matter. Gambling, selling alcohol, doesn't matter any of these things. Why? Dunya, yeah, dunya dari karniya. We have to live in the... No. If anything that takes you away from Allah, from the deen of Islam, from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that drop is not worth the ocean, that drop is not worth the eternity of the fire of hell that is waiting for you in the hereafter. Where is your dunya taking you? So the formula, my brothers and sisters, is very, very simple. Use the dunya to make your way towards Jannah. The dunya is merely a means for us to either enter into the gardens of paradise, or the dunya can become a means for us to enter into the fire of hell. Our approach to life should be balanced here in this dunya. The religion is not the enemy of the worldly pursuit. The Sahaba Ikram were great businessmen, affluent, powerful, and they were very successful. But they did not allow the dunya to be in their heart. They used the dunya for the deen. They used the dunya for the akhirah. They didn't use the dunya just for the dunya. And this is the difference. We're using the dunya for everything within the dunya, and we have no preparation, no worry or concern of the ocean of the hereafter that is waiting for us. How beautiful would it be if we have a doctor who is a hafiz, we have an accountant who is an alim, and we have all of these people in all of these different fields in the dunya, but they are also great Muslims and great leaders, great fuqaha, great jurists, great scholars. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be, not to be in the dunya and lose ourselves in the dunya and be deluded by the attraction and the beauty of the dunya, because that is the deception of the shaitan and the dunya. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, my wa'da is haqq, that this droplet of your life will cease, and then you will come into your barzakh, and then you come on the day of Qiyamah, and you will have an eternity to stand up for, and to pay for on the day of Qiyamah. So live in this dunya to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Allah azza wa jal, to practice your deen, to get closer to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Not live in this dunya for its shuhrah, for its maqam, for its power, for its wealth, for its status, for all of these things. No, the dunya is nothing in comparison to the hereafter. The dunya is merely a means to cultivate and harvest for the hereafter. It is a mere vehicle for your ultimate destination. When you are in a vehicle, you don't just stop on the way and you don't get lost in all of the beautiful scenery. Your vehicle is there to take you to your destination. And our destination is not here, because we began in Jannah. This is just a passing through. We must return back to Jannah. This dunya is merely a vehicle. So don't get lost in the beauty of the vehicle. Don't get lost in the beauty of the journey. But make sure you reach your destination. Seek the ocean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us, and not the droplet of the dunya that we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it all. Wa kulli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullahu khayra. Chand elanat.